Good evening. The scripture reading this evening will be from the book of Psalms, Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
On this day of thanks, we gather near to count the blessings that abound. Through laughter, love, and joy sincere, we find God's grace in every sound. For family and friends so dear and true, we give thanks to God above. For the love that binds like morning dew and fills our hearts with endless love. For the food that nourishes our souls and the shelter that keeps us warm. For every season that unfolds, we find in God's embrace a calm. In times of plenty or times of strife, our faith in God's remains unwavering. For with him, we find abundant life, and in his blessings are ever sustaining. In a few days, as a nation, we celebrate Thanksgiving Day. When I was younger, I really didn't appreciate Thanksgiving. I was more for the things that involved gifts and stuff like that. I just didn't really enjoy Thanksgiving as much, and as I've gotten older, it's probably my favorite holiday. And I think it's a wonderful time to be with and to reflect with family and friends on how richly we are blessed by God. For me, it is also a time to remember family and friends who have passed on and all the many great memories we had together, which I am so thankful for. There's a wonderful song by Ben Rector called the Thanksgiving Song. In the song, it describes how through the years as we get older, how life changes and how the faces we see at the table change, but some things stay the same. And one of the constants in the song is how we thank God for this Thanksgiving Day. So what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving Day? For some, Thanksgiving Day is all about the food. Man, that's something I love. Turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, fresh rolls. Just thinking of it makes me hungry. For others, Thanksgiving Day means the parade followed by endless football. They stay glued to the TV as one game is followed by another. For still others, Thanksgiving Day represents a long weekend, a time to rest, unwind, and relax. And some think of Thanksgiving Day as the day to prepare for the busiest shopping day of the year, what we call Black Friday. It's time to buy as much junk stuff as we can. For some, Thanksgiving Day is a time for family. It represents a family reunion when mom and dad and brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts and cousins gather together. And even for some, Thanksgiving Day represents history. They think of the founding of our country, Pilgrims, Indians, and Plymouth Rock. The first official proclamation of Thanksgiving in America was made by George Washington in 1789. It was made a national holiday by President Lincoln in 1863 and permanently made the fourth Thursday of November by Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1941. But for those of us who profess to follow the Lord, Thanksgiving Day is not just a time for food or football. Sorry, Austin. Fellowship or family. It's not just a man-made holiday every fourth Thursday in November. And it's not limited to a day at all. For God's people, every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day, just without the food. Man, that'd be huge. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 18. And for the study, I'll be using the New King James Version. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So when we engage in thanksgiving, powers are unleashed. In this sermon, I'd like to talk to you about the power of thanksgiving. But before I go any further, I'd like to take this time to thank all who are here, especially the visitors. We have many, which I'm so thankful for. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I would invite you to follow along in God's Word as we open it up. And if you have any questions about anything that is said or done, please don't hesitate to ask me. And if I appreciate any critiques or anything like that, whether good or bad, and to help me grow and get better. And if you find any error, please let me know so I can get it corrected. So now on to our lesson, the power of thanksgiving. So first, thanksgiving boldly acknowledges the good that others have brought into our lives. We give thanks because of the blessings we have received from others. Gratitude acknowledges the giver. The giver did not have to be benevolent. He could have withheld his bounty from us, but he did not. He voluntarily gave to our needs. Our gratitude proclaims the giver's goodness. And if you would turn to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel in chapter 2. We're going to see how Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream that none of his wise men could interpret, which angered the king. So he sent out a command to kill all the wise men in Babylon. And then in verse 13 it says of Daniel chapter 2. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So next we see God gave the interpretation to his faithful servant Daniel. And when Daniel received it, he immediately gave thanks to God. And there in verse 20, it says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." So Daniel could not have interpreted the dream on his own. God had to provide the interpretation to him. When Daniel gave thanks, he acknowledged the gift that God had bestowed upon him. So yes, in thanksgiving, there is the power of acknowledgement. So the next thing I'd like to look at, the second thing, is thanksgiving causes one to display the characteristic of humility. Humility is defined as being modest, admitting when you're wrong, and giving credit where it's due. It also means putting others first. Humility is not a common trait in our world. Pride is the quality most people manifest. When we are blessed by another, however, it is very difficult to be arrogant. When we receive a gift from another, we know that we do not deserve the blessing. A gift makes us ask, "Who am I that I should receive this?" In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'd like to look at verses 12 through 15. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 15. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Paul, in this part, plainly notes what he was before he received the gifts from Jesus. And he humbled himself. He understood that he was unworthy, but he was sincerely thankful for what he had been given to him. And another example of humility can be found in the story of the lost or prodigal son. So if you would turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. I'd like to look at verses 11 through 24. So starting in verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. So we see in this story, it's about a young man who demands his inheritance, leaves home, squanders all he has, and returns home in shame, hoping his father will accept him as a servant. Yet his father welcomes him back with open arms, celebrating his return. The prodigal son's humility to admit his mistakes and return home is met with forgiveness and unconditional love. This story shows us that humility allows for forgiveness and reconciliation. It's a beautiful reminder that no matter how far we have strayed, it's never too late to turn back, admit our mistakes, and seek forgiveness. It's a testament to the power of humility in healing broken relationships and restoring hope. So in Thanksgiving, there is power in humility. And this story really ties into my third point this evening. So third, thanksgiving causes one to have deep desire to give to others. And when one has been blessed by others, he often wants to bless others in return. The receiver of gifts now wants to become a giver of gifts. And one of the most precious gifts that a man can receive is forgiveness. God so richly blesses us with this every day. And in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 19, affirms this quality of Jehovah. Micah 7, 18 through 19. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So the forgiveness we have received from God should cause us to want to forgive others. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, we see in verses 24 through 27 how a king was asked to forgive a large debt that could never be repaid. So let's look at the book of Matthew in chapter 18. Matthew 18, and we'll start there in verse 24 and go through 27. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. So we see how the master forgave his servant the large debt and released him because he was moved with compassion for the servant and his family. So now the servant, who was given such a wonderful gift of forgiveness, should have been filled with such happiness and gratitude and willingness to forgive others. But we read in verses 28 through 31 what he actually does. So in verses 28 through 31, "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that he had done." So now the master, who had forgiven a great debt, asked the unmerciful servant a question. There, continuing in 32 and 33, it says, "Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgive you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?'" So we see now in the next two verses what happens to the unmerciful servant in verses 34 and 35. "And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So we see how serious of a matter this is to God, and how forgiveness calls for the forgiving of others. So in thanksgiving, there is power in forgiveness. And the fourth point I'd like to make this evening is that thanksgiving can drive one onto his knees to offer prayer unto God. And back in the book of Luke chapter 17, we'll look at verses 11 through 19. We see the story of Christ cleansing the 10 lepers. Luke 17, 11 through 19. "Now as it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So we see that the 10 lepers cried out for mercy to the Lord. The Lord granted their request and cleansed them. And then we see only one of them came back to show his thanks. Gratitude caused this man to bow before the Son of God and give thanks. There have been many of us who have had this same reaction to the blessings we have been given from God. And this made me think of how there is nothing like being blessed with a child and holding it in your arms for the first time. That is a moment I will cherish and one that brought me to tears and made me bow my head and give thanks to God. Kind of think of Heidi recently about that, and just makes me smile and thank God. God's goodness is rich, His goodness is undeserved, and His goodness is free. And when we have experienced it, we must take our thanksgiving into His presence. We need to do as the psalmist exhorted in Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. And it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So in thanksgiving, there is power of prayer to our Heavenly Father. So we have seen what thanksgiving has the power to do. Thanksgiving causes us to acknowledge the giver of gifts. Thanksgiving causes us to display humility. It causes us to want to become givers ourselves. And thanksgiving causes us to bow our heads in prayer to the great I Am. Sadly, thanksgiving is rare in our society. For some reason, we live in a world of entitlement. When individuals are blessed, they believe they were entitled to the blessings they have received. Thus, they do not give thanks. And Jesus experienced this very thing upon seeing the Samaritan at His feet. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So brothers and sisters in Christ, giving God thanks should be a theme running through our lives in times of good and bad. And thinking back to the time of the pilgrims, they lived close enough to the soil to know how dependent they were on God, or God's providence. In bitter winters with scarce food, they learned to thank God for all they had. And they were eager to thank Him during times of abundant blessing too. So let's make sure we have that same mindset of giving thanks to God. There is tremendous power in thanksgiving that will unfold in our lives when we do. Let's close with some words from the psalmist in Psalms 116 and verse 17. Psalms 116, verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Now comes the time that, as we do every service, where we offer up the Lord's invitation. But before I do, I'd like to take a moment to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. So if you would, let's pray. Our Father and God in heaven, we are so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this Lord's Day and the opportunity to worship You, the one true and living God. At this time, Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer that we would each take this opportunity to examine our hearts, that we would take a hard look if we are in a right relationship with You. We pray, Heavenly Father, that if there is sin in our life, that we would make a change this day. We pray, Heavenly Father, that if we have sin of a public nature, that we would have the courage to come forward to confess our sin and repent and pray to you, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you are a forgiving God and that you have put forth such a wonderful plan of salvation that it is so easy to follow. And we pray at this time also for those who have yet to be put on your Son in the waters of baptism, for those who have reached the age of accountability and have not made the decision to serve you and your plan. We pray that they would decide this day to become a child of yours before it's everlastingly too late. We pray, Heavenly Father, that if any of us has a need, that we would heed your Son's call. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So thinking upon the lesson this evening, I'm so grateful that we serve such a loving and forgiving God who put forth such an easy plan for us to follow and put forth such provisions that allow for times when we mess up, as we all do. In the parable of the prodigal son, we see how God gives us free will to do what we want with our lives. Many times in our lives, we think we know better and we veer away from God, which can many times snowball and take us so far from him that we think that we can't make it back, that he won't accept us back. But in that parable, we see the prodigal son humbled himself and came back. And the father was overjoyed and received him back with open arms. That's what God will do for us as well. In Ephesians 1, in verse 7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So Christ shed his blood and died for all so we can have the forgiveness of sins and hope of heaven. But unless you put on Christ in the waters of baptism and become a Christian, you will not receive the blessing, this blessing, as well as other blessings. So if you have not yet become a Christian and have reached an accountable age, why not do this very night? The plan is simple. In the high school class in the back, we're going through the conversions of Acts. And we made it through most of them. There's a dozen of them that we go through. And a lot of good examples in there and on what we need to do to be saved. And in this very last lesson today, it talks about what must I do to be saved. And it's very easy to know what we must do as we read through the book of Acts. All you need to do is hear the word of God, Acts 19, verses 4 through 5. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Acts 16, verse 34. Repent of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Confess with your mouth before men that Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And be baptized or immersed in the water, Acts 18 and verse 8. So for those of us who are already Christians and have sin in our lives, we need to repent or make a change in our lives that takes us away from that sin and pray to God. In 1 John 1 and verse 9 it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Maybe your sin is of a public nature. You can come forward and we would love to pray with you and pray for you. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So the time is now. Don't delay." Or as Brother Jeremy says, "Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Whatever your need is, please come forward as we stand and as we sing."